Okay, tonight we're looking briefly at the last verse in the book of Numbers, Numbers 36, verse 13. And this is what it says. These are the commandments and the judgments which the Lord commanded the children of Israel by the hand of Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan, across from Jericho. So this phrase here, the book concludes with these commandments and judgments, those two words which the Lord commanded. We're going to look at these two words, the last of them especially, commands and judgments. In this place, in the book, commandments are directions, laws that were given by the Lord God. Rules, the Ten Commandments, for instance, are 10 rule principles that God gave to people. And in this place, at the end of the book of Numbers, the verse comes at the end of a section, a number of chapters, where there are laws, directions about boundaries, divisions of land parcels, judicial procedures and laws for manslaughter and murder. So plenty of commandments, plenty of laws that are given in the closing chapters. So that's the first of those two, commandments. What about judgments? Well, sometimes, especially in Hebraic expression, the writer will say the same thing twice, but in different words, just to enrich and to fortify the thought. And so it could be that here, judgments, commandments, and judgments, the word for judgments is the Hebrew word mishpat. It could be just, it's talking about a rule, a commandment, and he's just reinforcing. But more often that word, for judgments, mishpat, it more often speaks of a decision that God has made, a decision of God in response to a situation, an action, maybe God acting in justice, in response to injustice, God doing something. And it's as if there might be, you could think of whatever the situation is, God weighs in. There's a court case where God evaluates what's happening, and God, the judge, weighs the case and renders judicial action. So as you look over the entire book of Numbers, and you recall some of the things that happened, it's full. It's full of the judgments of God, places where God acted. So remember, God rendered judgment, mishpat, on the situation at Kadesh. When the people rebelled, the Lord rendered judgment by barring them from entering. That was God's action. Think of earlier in the book of Numbers what the Lord did at Meribah, where the people complained against Moses and the Lord. The Lord rendered judgment, mishpat. He barred Moses and Aaron from entering into Canaan. Well, this word judgment, the judgments of the Lord, it speaks of God's response to a situation. And it speaks of God's binding action. The Lord judges. Maybe he judges and acts by scattering enemies. That's one kind of action. Maybe he rescues the poor and the widow. That's his judgment, his mishpat. It's an action by the Lord. Psalm 9:16 speaks of it. The Lord is known by the judgment, mishpat, that he exercises. He executes. The judgments of the Lord often involve God intervening, changing the situation. Isaiah 1:17. Learn to do good. Seek justice, or mishpat. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. So, what are the actions of judgment here? It could be correcting the oppressor. It could be protecting the fatherless and the widow. Advocating for the weaker people. God's actions, his judgments, do those kinds of things. And then look at how it's described in other places that are very familiar just to the whole tenor of Scripture. In Jeremiah, showing this active component to God's judgment. Jeremiah 9:24. But let him who glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, there's our word, mishpat, righteous and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. So he exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. Now, in some ways, you could speak of the judgments of the Lord as, maybe you could word it this way, the purposeful, providential actions of God to enact right in the world. So here's what I want you to consider tonight. You have heard the commandments and the judgments of the Lord. You've heard the commandments in His Word, His rule principles for how we should live. And then in history and in your own life, you see the judgments. You see the commandments and you see the judgments of God, even in your own life. How about your life? How have the judgments of God disturbed or limited your life circumstances? Did you have a loved one who was taken away too soon? Did you have a job which fell through? Was there in your life some closed door that would not and will not open for you? Now, having described that kind of thing, don't hear me saying that if something hard has happened in your life, it's due to your own sin. That's not what I'm saying. It's not a punishment of some sorts. That's not the point. Sometimes plenty of people suffer as a consequence of someone else doing wrong. So that's not what I'm saying. My point is, all of us, if you live long enough, all of us have hard things that we face. Hard things that ultimately come from God's decision, the judgments of God, the decision of the Lord. And it could be everything from your parents' divorce, your health troubles that have barred you from paths of opportunity that everyone else has access to. It could be the difficult person with whom you live. These kinds of things are also, in a strong overriding sense, the judgments of the Lord. He has determined how things will fall out in our lives. Can you look at the hard judgments of the Lord that have come to you, and can you look at them and construe the goodness of God in them? Psalm 36, verse 5, it says, "Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments," there's our word, mishpat, "your judgments are a great, deep, O Lord. You preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O God." The word calls you to inspect those hard things that still affect you today, to inspect them and to trust that the ways of God are a deep, or as it said in Psalm 36, a great deep. That means if they're a great deep, the judgments of God are a great deep, it means you, in humility, you acknowledge that you don't fully understand God's ways. And in humility, it means that you understand that He doesn't owe you a full explanation of why and what He has done. But the Word also calls you to inspect all those hard things that come up against you, that have come up against you, with a certainty, an absolute certainty, that they are surrounded and laced through with God's loving kindness and God's faithfulness. That when God exercised judgments, they also came with His righteousness and with His loving kindness. Now, all that's easy to recite. It's easy to say those words. We sing songs that use those kinds of words. But how can you see it when you just don't see it? Here's how. It's because in the gospel, Isaiah 53, Jesus Christ was taken away by oppression and judgment, mishpat, the judgment of God against your sins. The judgment of God against your sins wrecked the life of Jesus Christ, so that your transgressions would be completely wiped away by Him, punished on Him. You know what that means? You know what that means? If you are trusting on Jesus Christ, it means you cannot be punished. There is no condemnation.
God will not punish you for your sins because of Christ. He may correct you, he may train you, he may discipline you, but only in the way and only for the intent that a good father would bring in bringing loving correction and training to his children. The gospel calls you to believe this. God interprets your sins in the judgment against Christ. And so now you interpret the judgments of God in your life with confidence in his love. Amen.